6.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coast to coast and all those spots in between. Left, right, undecided, or in the gray area. We don't care. It's about the conversation, my friends. And you'll get your chance to throw in your 2 cents a little later in this hour. Big story today. General McChrystal is out. Petraeus is in. We're going to talk about how a magazine took out a 4-star general. Ooh, the big switch in Afghanistan. Speaking of being taken out, did you catch Team USA? We're going to dive into that as well. But first, here's Obama talking about McChrystal and the Petraeus switch off.
Today I accepted General Stanley McChrystal's resignation as commander of the International Security Assistance Force in Afghanistan.
Yep, so that's in a nutshell. Pretty much, tongues are wagging, not just in D.C., and tongues are wagging over, like I said, the USA. I can hear it in my sleep. USA. Check out what happened against Albania. Here it goes.
Well, they'll just take their time here, keep the ball in the corner if they've got any sense at all. It is over! The USA have made it in a Hollywood-style finish. Bob Bradley's side will go into the biggest party they can think of back at their base between Johannesburg and Pretoria tonight. There'll be a few drinks, and why not?
I don't care if I was bleary-eyed or not. I had strong coffee, and I just jumped up in the air, and that coffee went all over the floor. Don't you know it? Landon Donovan said afterwards, biggest goal, period, ever in his career. Our friend and soccer analyst Tom Gulley back on ATN. Tom, I am sure that you were filled with pride. I mean, you had to be feeling the same thing I was feeling. Was that crazy, that goal?
Well, it was a crazy goal, but the whole sort of drama leading up to it was what got me kind of on the edge of my seat and huge amounts of frustration, because if the score had stayed 0-0, the U.S. is crashing out of the World Cup. They're going home, and the Slovenians are going to make it. And to see them pounding away at the Algerian goal the entire match and just not be able to score and having a goal called back and then in extra time just having Tim Howard throw the ball on a dead run to Landon Donovan and then just marching down and scoring. Yes, it was one of the most thrilling moments I think U.S. soccer fans have ever had.
Yeah, and explain this too, at the time that he actually scored the goal, because talk about extra minutes and time ticking away. You were definitely on the edge of your seat. Explain what set that up.
Well, in soccer, moments when the ball is out of bounds or the players are injured are added up and added on to the end of the 90-minute match. And really, until the game's a minute from being 90 minutes, you don't know how long that's going to be. It could be a minute. It could be 6 minutes. In this case, it was 4 minutes. And I'm sure most U.S. fans like myself were almost in tears thinking, well, there's no way we're going to score in this last 4 minutes. And, were we wrong? It was it's just an electrifying play. And after all the frustration, it really was electric is the only way to put it.
Absolutely. You know, we had you on to set us up for the run and explain things that we should look for. So you go through the match with Slovenia, and then you look at Albania, and you talk about the refereeing. And there have been a lot of people that have just come unglued by what's happened with Team USA. Your thoughts on the referees in this last game and the game before?
Well, the game before, of course, the U.S. scored a goal that was called back for still mysterious reasons. The referee has not even said what the call was, and ended up tying that match. In this match, we scored a goal in the 21st minute that was clearly onside and called offside. I think as a U.S. supporter, you get used to getting the bad end of the refereeing decisions. It seems it always goes that way against the U.S. The team we play in the knockout stage, Ghana, is the team that knocked us out of the last World Cup, and there was a phantom red card and penalty kick in that match. So we kind of get used to it. Obviously, the team's not bothered by it because they just keep performing and performing.
Yeah, what would you say, and I'm going to let everybody I'm going to let everybody hear this. I think we can roll this, can't we, Donovan? This is Bob Bradley, the coach, after the game and talking about the winning goal, if we can get that.
The game had opened up so much, and when the ball went out wide on the right, Landon was able to really run hard at the defense. And then he slipped the ball to the right, and he kept moving, and when it came through, it was right there.
Boy, Bradley's just done a phenomenal job, I think, as coach. What would you say?
I think that Bob Bradley gets maligned a lot because his pedigree isn't as glamorous as some of the big-name European coaches. But think of the three moves he made at halftime. He brought in Benny Fellhaber, who really opened up the U.S. offense that whole second half. He brings in Edson Buttle, who almost scores for Maurice Adu. And then Marcus Beasley. These are all incredibly fast, very offensive players. And as you saw during the match, it put Algeria on their heels the entire second half and really settled down the U.S. midfield.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this and you look at the strategy, you have to have the horses too. So would you say with his coaching style, and I like the way you just described that, he doesn't have the pedigree, but he's like the blue collar worker guy to me. I don't know why I get that in my head, but I get that feeling about him. And then you look at these players and how they've been pulled together. There is something about this mixture, do you think?
I really do. And he's got this team playing with a belief that they can score in the very late stages of matches. 9 times in U.S. qualification, they scored in the 86th minute or later. And that's more than double the next closest team in that statistic. So this is a team that's used to taking it down to the wire. I wish they didn't sometimes. It's almost like these guys have to get punched in the nose a little bit to really turn it on. But this is a team that never will quit at the end of a game.
All right, this is going to be hard for you to pick out, but you know, like, I have my little crush on Donovan. There's no question about that. But in looking at the players that are out there, who do you think has been the biggest surprise? Who's been the biggest surprise? Who's really stepped up?
Well, there's 2 players I think that have stepped up. Jay DeMeritt, who's a central defender for the U.S., has just been a hard-nosed rock back there, I mean, the entire tournament. And then a player that I think everybody knew was very, very good, but is really coming out in this World Cup, is Michael Bradley, the coach's son, who scored the tying goal against Slovenia. He has really, really shown himself to be a young player with a tremendous amount of composure. And then, of course, there's my favorite player, who I think was the workhorse today, Clint Dempsey, who got that 4 stitches in the lip on a red card foul that was not called.
Yeah, I saw that. You saw that little trickle of that little bit of blood that went down. All right, handicap it for us. Saturday, Ghana, what has to happen?
Ghana is a big, physical, fast team. The fact that U.S. won their group is really good because we're in a bracket with Ghana, South Korea, and Uruguay. Had we finished second in the group, we'd have been in with Germany, Mexico, and Argentina. So it's a good half of the group for us to be in. For the U.S. to be successful against Ghana, they're going to have to defend well, and they're going to have to play very, very physically and be fearful of the pace of the Ghanaian team. They're very fast, very physical.
All right, Tom, always fun to pick your brain. This was great watching. It's been great watching Team USA, I have to say it. And World Cup soccer, too, and it comes back at you on Saturday afternoon. Go USA. Thanks, Tom.
Go USA.
Absolutely. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about something completely different. A big lawsuit going on in New Mexico, and it has to do with those payday loans. Anybody ever get a payday loan? We're going to talk to the owner of Fastbucks and his attorney, first of all, about what they do and what happened in New Mexico. Hang with us.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing. Claims other products can't make.
Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Ah, so check it out. Christie's sells a Picasso for $51.2 million. Who has that kind of money laying around? That's crazy. It was a Picasso from 1903. But 16 of the 62 paintings that were on sale at the Christie's auction, I wouldn't say they were on sale, they were up for grabs, went unsold. How about that? Even a water lily, one of the Monets, didn't sell. What a way to introduce our next guest, the guru of all things collectible, Harry Rinker. You can ask Harry about your stuff, even if you have a Picasso, 800-259-5791. You know those numbers, 800-259-5791. He's only here for this segment, so you want to jump in and get a piece of the action. Hey, Harry, how are you?
Listen, we're doing great. We don't have trophy wives anymore. We have trophy paintings.
That's crazy. 51.2
million. Well, yeah, but yesterday it was 53.
Oof.
53 for a Monet.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
53 million. I mean, this is not a record.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday, another piece went for 53 million. I saved the paper because they talk about them as trophy paintings. I mean, it's just the thing about it. These are commodities. These are commodities that we have now. I mean, seriously, they are not works of art anymore. And they are trophies. And this, whether you apply this concept of trophy to paintings or firearms or duck decoys or coins, where we have $3 million coins these days, nickels, American nickels that are worth $3 million. I mean, it just, you get the feeling that this isn't collecting like we know it, like it's, what's left for the average guy?
Yeah, the average guy is ground out.
Save those state quarters. They'll only be worth a quarter, but they'll always be worth a quarter.
Yeah, speaking of that, the quarters were so popular, then they were going from the state quarters, there was something else they were doing.
Well, then they did the Jefferson Nickel series, and then they did the Lincoln Penny series. Yeah. And, too much of a good thing, who cares?
Right, so it was more exciting, I guess, when it was just the state.
Well, the state quarter series, and the presidential dollar series, too. I mean, yeah. We've got series out the gazoo right now.
Yeah. I have the dollar. I have the dollar series, by the way. I have them.
Well, see, whatever, you know, but what happens is, yep, there was a fascination with that. Everybody got involved with it. They were collecting the different ones. But you know what they don't understand? If you take them out of pocket change, they don't have any value. In fact, they don't have any value if you touch them. Because,
right.
You know, unless they're untouched by human hands and high graded and all the rest of this stuff. And then everybody saved them, of course. And I have to tell you, it just, I just did a thing about these coins and a lot of this stuff because of gold. There's so much emphasis these days on gold and gold bullion.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, fine. The Cougarans are back and the Chinese pandas are back, but they're selling at a premium over their gold value. And that's what people don't understand. They look at all the prices jumping around for some of these gold coins and they say, oh my goodness, you know, that's great. They're going up in value regularly, but they're going up with a bullion value. When the bullion value collapses, you can forget the whole business with the gold, with the ordinary gold coins. On the other hand, they have all this graded stuff, you know, coins grade to MS-70, although 65 used to be the old standard grade, but now they have these just super sophisticated grades between 65 and 70. And, you know, you can get some of the real early examples where there's only a few known, and by gosh, you know, they will go in the millions of dollars, or at least high hundreds of thousands. And people are just spending money recklessly. It's like it was back in the 1980s, the early 1980s, when everybody just thought that there was a time when there was no end to this stuff, that, you know, that whatever one person paid, somebody else will pay. Well, you know, here's who the smart guy is on this? Frank Lloyd Webber, right? He sold the Picasso.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the money. Now the guy is stuck with getting more than he paid for it.
Right, exactly.
And okay, it's a trophy, and maybe, just maybe, when he goes to sell it the next time, just maybe.
He gets more,
Maybe not. And what happened was, when we had the last big craze like this, you know, these people put their paintings up for sale, but they required reserves, you know, a price at which the painting would not sell.
Right.
And so, you know, you look at the auction, and you mentioned this at the top of the thing. You know, the sell-through rate was not terrific. The sell-through rate was really bad on that sale. Okay, 16 didn't sell, right?
Right.
16 didn't sell. That meant the auction house way overestimated their potential value of the field. But also what they probably did is, these may have been middle range or lesser lights for these guys. And so you have this thing where these things that are considered trophies, the very best of the best. I mean, we used to have a concept called ultimate units, the top 5 or 10 things in every category that, you know, that collectors would buy and sell. But now they've added this designation on top of it, and the only thing that defines it is money.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, the only thing that defines it is money.
Yeah, that's the common denominator.
It's incredible.
It is. It blew my mind when I read that story. I was like, wow, unbelievable. Harry, we've got a caller that's waiting in the wings.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
We've got Nick listening to us in Michigan. Hello, Nick.
Hey, hi, Nick. What you got?
Hi, question about World War II spotter cards, playing cards of aircraft silhouettes.
Yeah, do you have the full set?
I think so.
Yeah, they'll sell for $50 to $75.
Okay, just was always curious.
It a lot will depend on the set. It has to be complete. There were different types of sets. You know, 35, 45 would be the low end, but I think there's enough interest in those cards yet that they'll still sell up there. The ones you wish you had were the little metal models. They used to have little metal models of planes in a box and little metal models of ships in a box. Those things go in the middle hundreds of bucks.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, this is the back. North American B-25 has got an example, U.S. Army.
Right. This is where you get yourself in a situation where you get some fun stuff out there. It was really kind of ridiculous. They were training, these things probably belonged to somebody who was a civilian air spotter. And the thing about it was that neither the Japanese or Germans had an aircraft carrier that could get planes close enough to reach the U.S. So especially if you're in Michigan, you don't need spotter cards for enemy planes. Actually, in World War
II. Yeah, I can tell where they came from. It was in my uncle's estate. He served, he was at Alameda during World War II.
Oh, okay. All right. So he was off California. And the Japanese did have aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
But they never had them close enough to launch them to the U.S.
Yeah.
But my dad was in Baltimore at the time, and you know, this was considered great morale for the U.S. You know, getting everybody to turn their lights out and all the rest of this type of stuff. Now you did have on the West Coast, you should have given them some submarine cards, because you did have a couple of Japanese submarines that got close enough to launch a few secret guys. What, they burned some forest up in Washington and a few other things, but
wow.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Hey, Nick, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank Nick for his call. We want to remind you, too, if you do have a question about antiques and collectibles and we don't get to it here on the air, give us a call or give us an email. My email is harrylrinker@aol.com, HARRYLRINKER, harrylrinker@aol.com. Start your email. I listen to you on America Tonight with Kate Delaney, and we'll put it in the America Tonight mailbag, and that way we'll be able to answer it here on one of my upcoming appearances. I'm here with Kate on the second and fourth Thursday of every month at this time.
Yeah, and I got a question from Ann. She emailed me a couple weeks ago asking about costume jewelry. Was there any worth to that?
Oh, yes, but it all depends on the type. You know, there's good stuff and bad stuff, and as you can imagine. And with costume jewelry, look at the back, several things. First, the name is important. If it's not marked, it can have some value aesthetically, but the chances are, look to see if it's marked first. Second of all, look for sets. Earrings, necklace, matching bracelet, bracelet earrings, necklace earrings, that type of thing. That often adds value. Name is the most important thing. Figural pins are hot. You know, anything figural in costume jewelry, whether it's a Christmas tree or a bird, often brings a little bit more money.
All right, that's great advice. And we are out of time, so hit the mailbag, like Harry said. And if people want to listen to your show, tell them how they can listen.
Well, listen, they can do the same thing that we do here. They can go to GCNlive.com on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 Central, 6 to 8 Mountain, 5 to 7 Pacific, and just click on the show that's on the air. We're on Channel 1 at that time, and just give us a tune in. We're getting a heck of a internet listening audience, as I'm sure you are too, Kate, on Sunday morning. So that's exciting.
I think it's exciting, too. The network is growing by leaps and bounds. It's fun to be a part of it, no doubt. Thank you so much, Harry. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Be well, kid.
You too.
Go
Harry
USA.
Rinker. The second,
go USA.
Go USA. Second and fourth week, as he said, of the month. So remember that when you want to call in with stuff like Nick did about the spotter cards. I think it's fascinating to hear how he runs through things. Coming up on the flip side, we've only scratched the surface. Odds and ends next.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe? Think again. Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What if your local grocery store was suddenly closed?
What if?
What if a crisis of world events caused anarchy?
What if?
The time to prepare yourself and your family for what if is now. For 1 week only, Ready Made Resources offers all GCN listeners 25% off of all Mountain House case lots.
And that includes free shipping.
Go to readymaderesources.com. See the variety of our quality Mountain House foods in a wide selection for every taste. Mountain House foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals.
Yes, there is a catch.
This 25% off of case lots only lasts through June 30th. Hurry, go to readymaderesources.com. Or call 1-800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House Foods with free shipping. That's 800-627-3809 or go to readymaderesources.com. Hurry, sale ends June 30th.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and to convert for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
I like to see you right across the floor.
Still no solution on the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Do you know we are now heading into day 65? One aspect of the spill that we've talked about a ton on this show is all the rumors and disinformation. Can you imagine what that's doing to the people in the fishing business when it comes to shrimp, fish, and other seafood? This has to be dangerous. They're making their living, for goodness sake, this way, and I understand a lot of it is exaggerated because some of the people are afraid to eat the seafood coming out of the Gulf states, states like Louisiana, and it is absolutely knocking businesses on their heels. So what's the real story? For that, we turn to someone who knows all about the seafood from that great state in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Chef Kelly Williams. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing tonight?
I got to tell you, I love the people in your neck of the woods in Louisiana. Great food, great people, Baton Rouge and all the way down to New Orleans.
I love it. New Orleans, have you been down to the coast before? Beautiful wetlands where the seafood is coming from.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I've had many an incredible dish or two in my time. Let me ask you this. First of all, before we dive into the whole seafood thing, is somebody, you know, who is living there. What's this been like for you to go through this? I said it was day 65.
You know, it's so disheartening because it's a culture here. You know, in South Louisiana, the seafood, oysters, shrimp, it's just part of life. You know, how many people don't have a friend and they've got their crab traps and on Sundays you go grab them and, you know, it's just part of life here as well as, you know, we're not a huge metropolis, so your cousins and your family are fishermen that are just 2 hours away outside of Houma, and they shrimp for a living. And to see what people are going through, it's just terrible. It's just terrible and very sad.
Oh, absolutely, and all of us feel the same way. How much is business down from your point of view, from what you've seen, for the guys who fish, the women who fish, and how frustrating is it to you when you read or hear the stories that you know are exaggerated?
Well, I'll tell you, definitely the seafood is less. I was told just today a third of the shrimp is being harvested. And, you know, it's so sad. It's just so sad. But there's lots of shrimp out there. There's lots of the fin fish, 100% is being harvested. And I understand that people have got to be scared. You look on the news and you see that giant dark cloud, you know, so scary sitting there, and do know that the waters they're allowing people to fish in are even larger than that. But 70% of the Louisiana coast in itself is still open for fishing. And, you know, most of everything that is closed off is going to be more towards the east, but even those fishermen, even though they have to work harder to get it, can still get out and get fish. And it's been tested, and for all we know, what you're getting in your restaurants, in your markets, if it's from the Gulf, it is good to go. And I just hope everybody, you know, takes this the next step and just realizes if you do go and you see something in your market from the Gulf, please get it. You know, you are saving families' lives and just a way of life and a culture here in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's funny you say those numbers, like 70% of the waters are open for shrimping and whatnot. It's the complete opposite of what you really feel like it is when you see it. It seems more like 10%, and so that shows you how the perception is reality when you're just listening and seeing the pictures. That's what's happening, don't you think?
It is, and, you know, I was talking to some people earlier today. I work with a Creole company called Tony Sachery's. And so we get to sort of have the buzz with all of the foodies around here. And they were saying almost we had to have so much negative press in the beginning so that we catch people's attention, because it was a long time coming before anything was really happening down here. But now we need to get the right message out there. And, you know, it's still the most succulent and wonderful seafood that there is. If you plan on vacationing in Florida, know that grouper that's being caught, you know, put it on the barbecue, beautiful little, you know, lemon and Creole seasoning on there, and you've got something wonderful. Don't be scared. Get it. Let those fishermen know that we, you know, support them. You know, fishing is one of those things like firemen where it's multi-generational, and especially for these oyster fishermen. I don't know if you've seen on, you know, how sad it is for the oyster fishermen. They are really, really hurting. And you'll find the oyster fishermen, their great-grandfather was an oyster fisherman. This is what they have always known to do. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Now, do you personally eat oysters on the half shell?
Oh, are you kidding? I eat everything. if it's not moving, I'm eating it when it comes to seafood. Absolutely. I'm all about the oysters.
Well, if you see it on the half shell and they're from the Gulf, eat them up, because, you know, that's the one thing that's really hard to find. Even if you're in New Orleans, on the phone today, down in New Orleans, the biggest oyster house is right there. You know, you may have it one day, but you may not have it the next. So just know, you know, it's not something you can throw in a freezer. I mean, fish should be eaten fresh. It's wonderful. So, you know, just keep it in mind. Mm. Enjoy what you have. And
no kidding.
And enjoy.
You know, Kelly, it's interesting you're talking about how, especially with the guys, the oyster fishermen, how it's handed down, it's generation after generation. Well, you're a chef. Was that handed down to you, or just did you go in a different direction than the rest of the family?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's sort of something that became in my blood. And, you know, here it's so funny because everybody cooks. I don't know a single man that doesn't cook, and my friends, you know, up north or out in the west, they're like, I can't get any of the men to cook in our house. And everyone in Louisiana pretty much grows up cooking. And so from a young age, you get in the kitchen. Now, I was a chef also around the country, but the culture of Louisiana is so precious and so fantastic that, you know, I had to come back. You know, I've got to raise kids and be part of this culture, from music and food and everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of people that are doing benefits for the Gulf Coast. Larry King did a telethon.
I know,
and Jimmy
it's
Buffett's
awesome seeing
doing
all
something.
Of the entertainers, especially in the music industry, because we do have so much great music here, and people are really starting to just spread that word, and we just love it.
All right, so Kelly Williams says, eat the fish, eat the oysters, eat it all. That it's and certainly that's the other part of this, and you gave out some of those numbers. So the areas that wouldn't be good are completely blocked off.
Yeah, they're blocked off by booms. You know, those are those big, you know, long
sure.
buoy-like things are the booms. And a lot of the fishermen are actually being employed now to lay them out. And so for them to get to the waters, they have to go around this, or they have to try and get around to it. And it's very much regulated. And do know, guys, that the seafood is being tested daily more than it ever has, ever before. And people should know that, you know, if it's getting into your market and into your restaurant, then it is safe. So, and the fishermen are working harder for the money. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, and a lot of that seafood, too, and you mentioned it, you know, we have listeners all over the United States, in Connecticut, mm-hmm. for example, and Illinois and Missouri, all over the place. And a lot of that, a lot of the fish from the Gulf Coast does go up north. People think it's
only
in the south, but that's not true.
You know, they're fishermen throughout, and but what people should know is that Gulf seafood is everywhere. You know, this
yeah.
is the tuna, the mahi, this is the wahoo. I know lemonfish right now is real big in all the New York restaurants. People are talking about it, triple tail. You know, these are all the deep Gulf fish, and they're being shipped all over the country.
All right, so eat the fish. Kelly Williams, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Come on down here sometime and eat with us, too.
We will. It's interesting to get the perspective when you think of the other side of the coin. The people in Pensacola woke up with oil over their sandy white beaches. They were really hoping to find a way to keep it all at bay, and unfortunately they couldn't. I think it's one of the saddest pictures I've seen. You can see the contrast of the white and just it's almost like a black giant stripe right down the middle forever, as far as the eye can see down the beach. But the point that she was trying to make is the areas where the fish aren't safe to eat, that's not where they're fishing. That's not where they're pulling the stuff out, and everything is tested. So I think there is kind of a little bit of hysteria at this point over the seafood. Now, as the spill continues, that area gets broader, and the situations become even that much more critical. And it already is that way. There are already problems, and she said it when she was talking about the oysters and the half shell and how awful it was for the oyster fishermen, that, boy, they were really taking it the hardest. Who knew? If you look across the board at everything, and the shrimpers, too, were having a tough time. You know, it's what also was awful is, since we don't know, and it's a question of how many gallons and how long does it keep pumping out, we just don't know the legs on this thing. In the meantime, partially because of that, it's given the government a trump card in trying to push for this moratorium ruling back again. The Obama administration asked the judge to delay the court ruling that overturned the moratorium on the new drilling in the Gulf. So in court papers, and this is how it would work, the Justice Department folks say, we need this delay while appealing the decision of the U.S. District Court so that the drilling doesn't start up again. And they say a delay would serve the public interest by eliminating the risk of another drilling accident while some new regs are put in place and procedures. So that was filed almost immediately in New Orleans. You got to think that the people who now are off rigs and it's like a ghost town with the 33 other platforms that are playing that waiting game, you wonder how long they're going to wait around, and will there be drilling before that six-month period? Sometimes by the time it goes through the court, the 6 months could disappear like that anyway. On the flip side, what does Jeroen Vandersloot's mother think of her son now? Stay with us.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KEROstove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KEROstove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KEROstove.com. Caro Stove for family emergency solutions.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow for the rest of your life.
Recap of what's making the water cooler buzz across the land. Of course, the big story still is the fact that Petraeus, who is pretty well versed in what's going on in Afghanistan, takes over as the lead commander now that McChrystal gets booted. You know, basically resigns, but he was going to be pushed out because of the loose lips to Rolling Stone magazine. They did a profile of McChrystal and McChrystal's staff, and there was just too much tension because of some of the crazy quotes by McChrystal himself and the guys around him. I think there was no question that he was done. So the four-star general with an incredible reputation is somebody who is all about war, and is somebody who's, I mean, I say is all about war, he's all about the military, so this had to be a tough pill for him to swallow. But now we're going to have a different kind of strategy, most likely, when it comes to Afghanistan, or at least perhaps a little bit tweaked, because his strategy was, I think, different than traditionally what was happening. No, it was definitely different than what traditionally was happening there. He was working with NATO, and he was working on the idea that it was more about the diplomacy. So the kids that were being deployed had to figure out how to get on in the villages and communicate with the people and interact that way more than go for the jugular, let's just say. So Petraeus has a relationship with Hamid Karzai, who's the Afghanistan president. And he also is very familiar with the U.S. ambassador and former Army General Carl Eikenberry. They've had a bunch of years together in the Army. So that, I think that part of it will be an easy transition. But what's weird, and which is why I didn't think Petraeus would be the guy, is technically it's kind of a demotion, isn't it, for the general? He oversees all of the military involvement across the Middle East right now. That means Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan and some of the Central Asian nations. So now he's just going to be focused on Afghanistan. So in my book, he had the whole pie. Now he's getting a little slice of it. But I think that was, I guess that was the guy, the only guy they could turn to based on what Petraeus did in Iraq. And he may, like I said, he might tweak it a little bit, but that strategy is probably going to be the centerpiece of what will continue. The idea of the rules of engagement, all that stuff that's infuriating to me. I think it makes it so tough for the guys that are on the front lines that are crawling into who knows what. And, you know, the plan calls for more troops to bolster kind of security, but it limits firepower because you're trying to win over the support of the locals. That's pretty much what the strategy of McChrystal was. And that part, I think, is going to continue. So then it becomes a question of, did Obama make the right decision on General McChrystal? And I think you got to say yeah, because he was the boss, and you can't trash the boss in print like that. That's just stupid. How about the Bin Laden hunter? Remember this guy who decided, forget about it, I don't care, I'm just going to go out and hunt for Bin Laden. And he went by himself, and he was out there. He was going to do it. So now he is back in Denver 10 days after they found him in the woods in northern Pakistan. And you know what they found him with? A pistol, a sword, and night vision equipment. So Gary Faulkner is the Colorado guy who said he wasn't going to give up on his mission. And he's got kidney problems. And family members say that they think that was part of what fueled it, that he had this drive to go ahead and do this, that he was out to kill the Al-Qaeda leader no matter what. But, man, he's an out-of-work construction worker. He sold his tools to finance 6 trips on kind of a Rambo-like mission to kill or capture Bin Laden. And his family did step up to the plate and say, listen, just so you know, he's not crazy. He's not crazy whatsoever. He grew his hair and his beard long because he thought he would blend in a little bit better that way. But he didn't get close to Bin Laden, that's for sure. I don't know that we'll ever see Bin Laden again. We'll continue to get tapes of Bin Laden that'll be played on Al Jazeera, but will anyone actually ever nail him? Wouldn't that be the best day? I would love it if I came on the air and that's what we talk about, that Bin Laden was captured or killed or whatever. But let's put it this way. I'm a glasses half full person, but on this one I'm going to say I'm going to be a little bit negative. There's not much of a chance. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say 1 negative. And this is a big story, and I haven't even mentioned this yet, and this is going to create a lot of buzz, to be certain. We talked about drones and the fact that they were talking about the government using unmanned drones for traffic reasons and also along the border. Well, they finally announced that they're going to station an aerial drone in Texas. That's part of their surveillance of the criminal trafficking along the border. And they signed an agreement to allow local police from non-border communities to deploy to the border region to assist with security, temporarily anyway. and the southwest border, whether it's Arizona or New Mexico or Texas or California or Arizona, I mean, that's where you really get slammed because that's where everybody comes in. And it was just Tuesday where Obama asked for $500 million in emergency border security monies, and that included those drones and 1,000 Border Patrol officers and so that they could hook up with the 1,200 National Guard troops headed to the border areas. I have to think a lot of them would be sent to go to Arizona, possibly parts of Texas, too. Everybody's wondering what Jeroen Vandersloot's mother was thinking about everything that's happened now with him and the fact that he's going to prison for murdering a young girl, and he shouted out that he knew about Natalie Holloway and where she was buried, and of course he's not telling anyone any of that. So this guy is just a psychopath, criminal idiot, and it's unfortunate for that girl that she trusted him and met him at that casino. But here's what Anita Vandersloot had to say about her son.
I said, Jeroen, a girl's been murdered and you have to go to the police immediately. You're wanted for a murder of a girl named Flores, who was seen with you. And then he became very emotional and said, no, Mom, that's impossible. And then he started crying and he said, oh, no, they didn't do anything to her, did they?
I think part of me still wants to believe that it's all a very bad movie, but I thought immediately of the parents of the girl. Well, in a way, I lost my child too. He's not a monster. He can be very gentle, but it could be that he has a bipolar personality.
I really wanted to tell her that we did everything we could. If Jeroen had done something wrong, or a friend of his, or whoever, we tried to get that out of him, but we didn't succeed.
I believe in karma. I believe that very strongly. I believe if you do things that you shouldn't do, that a lot of happens to you. I want to keep distance. I think it will bring emotions up that I'm not ready for right now.
Yeah, boy, Vandersloot, in the meantime, while his mother was saying that, you could tell she was getting upset at the end, and she talked about keeping the distance from him. Vandersloot filed a complaint against the Peruvian police, claiming that his constitutional rights and his right to a defense were violated after his arrest in connection with the killing of the Peruvian woman. And, you know, they got to put him in the full flak jacket when they move him anywhere, because you can bet that people want to pick this nutball off. Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.